Order.
Social bonds, an innovative capitalist investment in mental health, or just another harebrained privatisation scheme? Two views, first from the current Health Minister, Jonathan Coleman.
Social bonds will see NGO providers partnering with sources of private capital to deliver on contracted outcomes in health and other social sectors.
Now his Labour predecessor, Annette King.
This latest harebrained scheme is nothing more than privatisation dressed up as social investment.
That's right.
The scheme got $29 million in the budget and the Ministry explained how it will work.
The first social bond will build on a successful pilot where an NGO has placed employment experts into a general medical practice to assist mental health patients into work where appropriate. While the contract details are being finalised, an NGO provider in partnership with a private source of finance will agree to deliver an increase in outcomes for this patient group. Payment occurs when results are delivered.
Questions for Jonathan Coleman included this one from Annette King.
Why has he chosen mental health sufferers as guinea pigs for the government experiment when the pilot program, costing at least $1.13 million from the health budget, did not recommend mental health for social impact bonds?
The Minister said the object was to get mentally ill people back into work.
We have not shied away from striving to achieve results in very difficult to make progress areas. So that's why, with mental health clients, we are determined to help them get back into work where appropriate. And I think actually the Labor Party should be getting behind this and actually giving us a pat on the back, because we are going to contract for outcomes that will make a real difference to the lives of mental health patients. And I'd ask, what is wrong with that?
Something that could go wrong was raised by the Greens' Jan Logie.
Will he guarantee that no one with high mental health needs will be bullied into an unsuitable job in order to ensure an investor gets a return on their investment?
The Honourable Dr. Jonathan
Yes.
Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Supplementary question, Jan Logie.
How will the Minister guarantee that?
Through the
Honourable Dr. Jonathan Coleman.
Through the contracts that we sign.
Jan Logie was not convinced, quoting an internal affairs report advising against social bonds.
Because investors by nature are looking to maximise profits while minimising risks, and that a low-risk social investment completely defeats the purpose.
The Minister, however, had been reading another report.
I have a report here in front of me, the advice to me from the DIA, that says social bonds are, in quotes, an exciting financial instrument with the potential to revitalise social policy delivery and inject private sector funding and innovation into the sector. And I thought the Greens would actually be in favour of social entrepreneurship, but if it's not their idea, apparently it's a bad idea.
That could equally apply to the clash between National and the Greens on climate change, as apparent in the first question from the Greens, James Shaw, as his party's co-leader. Rhys Lyon reports.
Wasting no time in his new role as Greens co-leader, James Shaw took on Prime Minister John Key over climate change.
Does he stand by his statement made about the Green Party this morning that, quote, we're not saying we're opposed to working with them on issues, but we work with every political party on issues, end quote? And if so, does he see climate change as an issue worth working on?
Prime Minister.
In answer to the first part of the question, yes.
James Shaw took the chance to show off his grasp of parliamentary history.
Does he believe that the 1993 cross-party accord on superannuation is an example of consensus politics that has been positive for the country? And if so, why won't he seek to build cross-party consensus on climate change, given that both are examples of issues that carry enormous potential cost to taxpayers?
Prime Minister.
Well, Speaker, I think the government's been quite clear about climate change. But what is, I think, very clear is that the Greens' perspective on what New Zealanders should have to pay when it comes to climate change is far more significant than what the government believes the economy can bear. And a target of 40% reduction off 1990 levels would be disastrous for the New Zealand economy.
Mr. Shaw also looked overseas for an example of cross-party cooperation.
Is he aware of the cross-party accord in the United Kingdom on climate change? And given the success of that accord there, why is he not open to negotiating a similar arrangement here in New Zealand?
Prime Minister.
If the member's going to model himself on Nick Clegg and Ed Miliband, I suggest while he's having his welcoming and congratulatory drinks, he also has his farewell drinks.
And there were also multi-choice options for the Prime Minister.
Which of the following options creates a better framework for New Zealand businesses to thrive? Option A, a stable, predictable and sensible price signal on carbon that is backed by all major political parties, or option B, policy settings that change with every change of government?
Prime Minister.
Speaker, option C, don't vote for a change of government and you'll get continuity.
John Key answering questions from Greens co-leader James Shaw.
That report from Rhys Lyon. More on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.